Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're just going to go right to the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. And that's where the word of the Lord said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe." Why do we read the Word of God? Why do we study the Word of God? Why would the Lord even want us to do this day and night? Why read our Bibles through every year, or at least listen to the Word of God all the way through every year? This is why. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. In other words, if an individual is obedient to the Word of God, he will make his way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Sounds like a good to me. Have not I commanded thee? In other words, the Lord is saying, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Everybody shout courage. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. Wherever you go, he said, he will be with you. We want to talk about losing the fear tonight. Lose the fear. Amen. Fear is not just the opposite of faith. It is totally the total opposite of faith. Faith believes you can. Fear doubts you can. In fact, you're not just not going to be able to do it. Something bad's going to happen before you get the chance to even try. That's fear. So fear is the opposite of faith, but it's not just the opposite of faith. Fear, it is a stronghold. It is something that will withdraw you from every good and positive thing that you could possibly accomplish for God. It'll take you from the will of God to our own personal ways. Fear, like faith, has to be developed. Now, we can't judge one another in these areas. We can only pray for one another in these areas, because none of us have walked a mile in our brother or our sister's shoes. So we don't know where they've come from, and we don't know the secrets they harbor of the bad things that have happened to them as children or teenagers or anything else of that sort that has caused great fear to erupt. And then that fear affects every other area of their life. And then you come to God, and we're preaching great faith, and we're talking about man up, and we're talking about be a man, we're talking about be a great lady of God and have great courage as a young person in the kingdom of God. For some, you're asking a great deal. And that leads me to say this, and don't you ever forget it, because it's one of our greatest helps. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil himself is the one that creeps in with fear. But God has overcome fear. Let's look to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for the chance. We praise you for the opportunity. And again, God, what a privilege, what an honor to speak to such great people. Lord, we all want to overcome. We all want to walk in total victory. We all want the blessings and the Spirit, the anointing and the power and the presence of God. Holy Ghost, help us with every obstacle. Help us with every stumbling block. Help us with every entanglement. Help us with every weight that doth so easily beset us. In the name of Jesus, and somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fear is a negative. Amen. And fear is not just the opposite of faith, but it's another type of faith, really. Amen. And so you can believe in fear and that's what you're going to get. You can believe in faith and that's what you're going to get. And so we need to believe in faith, of course. In reading, I found that there were 700 different kinds of phobia. I'll never forget it. When I first started in ministry, I wanted to study all kinds of things. I wanted the definition of all kinds of things. I wanted to rightly divide the Word of God. And I ran across a phobia that a lot of people have that I had no clue. And I don't know. I would say write it down, but I don't even think I could spell it. But it says arachbatyrophobia. How about that? How many of you want some of that? You know what that is? Are you ready for this? It is the fear of getting peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth. That's what that is. Oh, I can't eat peanut butter. I got arachbatyrophobia. I don't even know how I remember it. Oh, no, no, no. I got arachbatyrophobia. I can't. You know, and afraid you'll never be able to talk again. But that's what, and I guess that falls in the category of one of those phobias. People have the phobia of height. That's why I'm short. And I got that from my mother. I mean, she couldn't even stand on a little stool to dust the top of a lamp and in fear that she was going to fall. But and so a lot of people have different kinds of fear, and it's an actual phobia. And that being said, I can also say that some fears are good to have, the fear of the Lord. But we've got to understand that that's a different type of fear. The fear of the Lord is a respect for God, an honor for God. In other words, this is what the Bible says, and so that's what I've got to do because I honor, appreciate, and fear the Lord. I want to walk in His concepts, right? Amen. Probably most all of you have driver's license when you drive. Not all of you probably, but most all of you probably have. Amen. Most all of you have insurance. And, you know, and the simple reason is because we just don't want to get caught. We wear seatbelts because we don't want to get caught. Amen. I wear mine because the buzzer drives me crazy. But, you know, you just do what you do out of fear. And there's some fears that could save your life, such as the fear of the Lord. Amen. Wearing a seatbelt, afraid you're going to get a ticket. I remember I drove the long distance from out of state and got all the way to Lexington, North Carolina, and just less than a handful of miles away from home, and I got pulled over for no seatbelt. I had a cup of coffee. I was trying to stay awake. I drove all the way, trying to get home, didn't wear a seatbelt, had a cup of coffee, steering with one hand, made a turn, and there they were. They knew where to set the trap. Man, when I turned, I spilled coffee all over me trying to get my seatbelt on and all that. I think I finally got it on when he was leaning into my window. And all of them were laughing at me. And they said, "It's hard to put a seatbelt on and drink coffee at the same time, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." And I got a ticket. But that's beside the point. And so there's fears that are negative, ladies and gentlemen, and there are fears that are positive, amen, that can help you. I'm going to hit on the negative just a little bit, because what I want to do is I want to compare fear to faith just a little bit. And that is the fear, you know, hey, what if I get out there and worship the Lord and wind up falling down? Hey, you fall all over the place. Just worship God. Amen. And chances are there was some others that needed to do the same thing and they were afraid and didn't do it. We built a new building in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was the one, man. If I shouted now like I did then, I would break stuff every service. I'm not talking about around the church. I'm talking about on me. And so we had a railing right across here, and it was about 3 feet tall. I'd come over that rail, man, and I'd jump out, and I'd do the whirly bird. My tie, I would wheel around so fast, my tie would stay straight out. And I just went nuts about God all the time. I love worshiping God. And we built a new building, and the platform was even higher than this one, and it had multiple steps that went way out. And I remember I was up to my same old tricks, man. I was in the Holy Ghost. I don't know where everybody else was. And I think those steps were demon possessed because I did the rail pretty good, but I didn't make it down the steps. And I rolled. Thus, I give definition to holy roller. Because that's what I was that night. Amen. So there's some fears that we just don't need to have. Amen. We're in a human body trying to do a spiritual thing, and sometimes it just don't all gel together. Friend of mine busted down the middle aisle and came shouting, spinning, worshiping God. The pastor's pulpit had a point in the front of it like that. The timing was perfect. Everything came into motion, and his forehead was creased right there, and it began to bleed. From a result of where, hey, that's fighting the good fight of faith. We're just worshiping God. Amen. Not everything all the time turns out perfect, but we cannot be afraid to give it a shot. We cannot be afraid to give it a chance. Amen. We've got to give God praise. We've got to give him worship, and we've got to honor him. Amen. And so why would anyone cling to the useless clutter of their life rather than drop the weight and then so they can run freely? Amen. When you already have your hands full, it's hard to pick up anything new. So what pastor's asking you tonight is to just let it go so you can pick up something new. Let's let go of the fear. Let's let go of all the intimidations and all the wonders. And specifically, and North Carolinians are bad about this. I know because I am one. Let's let go of the what ifs. Turn to your neighbor and say, what if? What if I try that and this don't work? And what if I do this? And what if? All right. Keep the what if then. What if I drop my fear and have faith? I wonder what God will do. What if I worship like I've never worshiped before? I wonder how my life would be. What if I put my mind on the Word of God and try to comprehend it and learn it? I wonder what that would result into. What if? Keep your what if, but change its direction. And when you hear that same old coming back, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Right? You remember what the old wise Indian said. He said, I got two very ferocious dogs that live on the inside of me. And they fight constantly. And someone was so intrigued by his story, they asked him, they said, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. Wow. Amen. So if you're going to have two what ifs in there fighting against one another, feed the one that's full of faith. Feed the one that believes things are going to be better. Feed the ones that believe we're going to fill this house. Feed the one that says we're going to have revival. We're going to have a move of God. Spirit of the Lord's going to do great things and wonderful exploits. Not just in here, but in you, in your life personally. And that's going to bleed over. It's going to touch your wives and your husbands. It's going to touch your children. Amen. And everything's going to come together in one mind, one accord, in one place so the Holy Ghost can fall on it. What if we believed that? Right? Amen. Amen. The answer is simple. Amen. It's something that we all have got to face and stare down. Fear. Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his first inaugural address, declared, "Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear, and we've heard it, is fear itself." Amen. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Fear wants to keep you from advancement, growth, all manner of positive things. Spoken at the height of the Great Depression, his statement is nonetheless appropriate for us even today. Fear cripples. It cripples creativity. It cripples ministry. And it diminishes self-image. And I'm just going to tell you, when our self-image is diminished, we begin to diminish others' images. Because we can't keep it to ourselves. And so it creeps into our life, often leaving you spiritually impotent to perform the will of God. That's what fear does. Amen. It cripples. One of the greatest fears men and women face is the fear of failure. Man, if I was afraid of failure, where would we be? And for many of you that have, I don't know, dreams coming true and great jobs and or careers or whatever that you've witnessed and experienced that's great and wonderful and mighty, amen, where would all that be if you were afraid of failure? Now, some of you are young. Some of you are just now coming into this real life deal. And you've got all the future waiting on you, amen. Do not let fear say you can't do that. You're a different kind of person. You can't achieve that. You don't have enough education. You can't get there because you don't. Hey, you look at fear and say, you don't bother me. You don't talk to me. I'm not listening to you. I don't have to hear what you've got to say. When I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He gave me faith. And that took away my fear. If I'm holding on to my fear, I don't have a grip for faith. So I'm going to let go of the fear and get a grip on faith. You better pray for me or I'll preach this stuff tonight. I'm feeling it. Amen. Because fear is the clincher. It's the fear of failure. The fear that we will not make it, or the nagging insecurity that we won't succeed or be good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what you need not to forget, and that is that you have the goods. You have been filled with all the goods to have great faith and accomplish a great deal for God. Now, when we go to comparing ourselves to one another, that's a whole different issue. Amen. Maybe next Tuesday I'll teach on comparison. Amen. But we don't do that. We have our personal relationship with God, and we let Him do with us as He chooses, and whatever He chooses, that's what we will do. And we'll give it everything we've got to be successful at that. Can you say amen? Amen. Fear has the tendency to scream loud at us at times, and making us think the negative. There's no way, it says, that we're going to make it. Amen. We need to understand and we need to comprehend that we are going to make it. Amen. The first time your mouth says it or your mind thinks it, you have dented your armor. Don't let that happen. Amen. You have the armor of God. Amen. And if fear penetrates your armor, you have undermined your effectiveness. Not overminded it, you've undermined it. I'm saying good stuff here tonight. I'm telling you, amen. When we let fear take control, we don't only not possess what we need, we undermine ourselves and keep ourselves little. We do that to ourselves. Don't undermine. Hey, if God chose us, and he did, or we wouldn't even be here. The Bible says the Spirit draws us. So the Spirit has drawn you. That means, let's say he's one of the baseball captains. There's another one over there. There's one over here. And God is one of them. We're all standing out there in the crowd waiting to be picked. Now you're on the team because you're in here. You got chosen. You got picked. And so there's a reason for that. There is something that is innately in you that God can use greatly if we do not let fear hold it back. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Life will give you enough real enemies to fight without fighting the ghosts and goblins and the haunting voices that lurk in the shadows of your mind and lying to you all the time. Amen. It's Halloween, so don't be scared. Amen. Don't be spooked. And don't be frightened. Amen. Because there is nothing to fear but fear itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you say amen again? Oh, hallelujah. We need to drop the not needed. Drop the stuff that we don't need. Let go of the things that aren't particularly vital, important, and major. Amen. So that you can run faster. So we can soar higher and reach further and achieve your full potential. Amen. Praise God. There is reasoning when it comes to fear. But there's no excuse for fear. We can make reasons. But there really is no excuse when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the faith of God. So fear's got to be one of the things that are at the very top that need to be stripped away. In fact, we could start a grocery list of items that we could talk about that we need to let go of because of fear. But we will let go. Those things will fall away if they don't have fear to cling to. Amen. Somebody shout faith. We have got to have faith that the Lord is going to see us through, that he's going to lead us, guide us, and direct our steps, and that he's going to take us all the way. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." To the end of this earth, the Lord said that he is with us. Fear is the enemy of greatness. Now, I don't know how you determine greatness, and you may not know how I determine greatness. But when the Lord can speak and we can do whatever he wants us to do, to me, that's great. Because I don't have a bunch of clutter saying, well, that's not exactly what I was really shooting for. And that's not what I have my goal, my mind for. Hello? That's not what God's looking for. That is not what he's calling. Amen. There's people, you know, we talk about the lust of the flesh and we talk about the lust of the eyes and we talk about this and that. Amen. There's other lusts. There's people that lust after a platform. There's people that lust after a microphone. They lust after attention. There's people that listen. What we need to do, if we're going to lust, here we are again. Hello? If we're going to lust, let's lust after the will of God, the perfect will of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. And then let us personally find out what all of that is for us. Not wanting what someone else has. Amen. They're already there. Amen. I don't want to preach like somebody else. I don't want to sing like somebody else. I don't want to look and act and dress. Hello. Amen. You'll never see me with a big t-shirt on that says Tommy Hilfiger. You're just not. I'll wear one if his name's not all over, if I'm not walking around advertising whoever he is. I don't know. I don't care. Amen. I'm advertising Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to look like everybody. I don't have to act like everybody. I don't have to talk like everybody. Hello? I am not a cookie cutter here. The last thing a true apostolic is a cookie cutter. Amen. If we're cookie cutters, then that means we're just like every other. Hey, we are not like every other religion. And that's not our fault. You can blame that on the Word of Almighty God. If I preach a portion of the Word of God, I need to preach all of the Word of God. Amen. But I will tell you this, someone that is not of our persuasion, he recently announced, he said, don't be delusioned by the way that those Pentecostals live and the way they look. He said, because I've done a study on it and it has not hindered their growth. In other words, he said, we better watch out. Here comes the Pentecostals. Here they come. Ready or not, here they come. And the reason we're coming is because we're shaking off the fear. Listen, everything in the world is coming out of the closet. I wish to God that a lot of it would have just stayed in there. Woo. But I'm just challenging you tonight. If all of that can come out of the closet, then why can't we? And let the world know, I'm glad to be this. I'm glad I walk like this and talk like this and live like this and look like this. And I'm glad I worship like this. I'm glad I pray like this. I'm glad our music is like this. I'm glad you're like this. I'm glad I'm like this. I'm not afraid. I came out of a world I was afraid and intimidated by and scared of and felt insecure in. And I'm tired of all of that. I'm ready to be myself for the glory of God in the kingdom of God, obeying the word of God. Is that okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need to drop some of the things that we don't need so we can pick up the things that we absolutely need. Amen. Faith is paralyzed by lack of trust in God. If the word faith was cut out of the Word of God, it could so easily be replaced by the word trust. Amen. Because when we walk in fear, we have lost our trust. And so we need to trust in God. Amen. Here's what we need to do. The last thing I would do is complain about how much this church loves God. This church loves God. But after we fall in love with God, the next step we need to take is to depend on God. I love you, Lord, but you're asking a whole lot, you know. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. Well, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's too hard. We're not asking you to come into anything overnight. But every day, go another step. Every day, grow a little more. Amen. Hey, it would have bothered me if my boys would have gotten 16 years old and they still can't ride a bicycle. Or they're 18 years old and they still don't. They can't do what 18-year-olds do. Am I making sense? And the reason for that would have been they got to a certain part of their lives and they refused to grow anymore, or they couldn't grow anymore. Amen. And please understand. I've said things like that before and gotten letters in the mail. You picked on my daughter. You picked on my. Hey, I'm not picking on people with needs. Amen. You know that. I don't do that. But I'm talking about people that can, but never get to that point because they just held back because of fear. Amen. It's no different in serving, living, giving things to God. Ladies and gentlemen, amen. We're at a certain point that is absolutely obvious, and it's wonderful and powerful. There is no doubt that everybody in this house loves God. I mean, this is Bible study night, man. And so we have volunteered to come and hear the Word of God again because we love God. And so the Lord is telling us tonight to go a step further and not only to love Him immensely, but to depend on Him for everything. And so let's get dependent on the Lord and trust in the Lord. If we continue to love Him, we're going to pray. If we love him, we're going to have faith. If we love him, we're going to sacrifice. We're going to give. We're going to share. We're going to care. We're going to teach our Bible studies. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to have crusades. And we're going to have fabulous Easter things going on and all of that. And so that's awesome. And that's powerful. But at the same time, we're going to depend on him to meet our needs. We're going to depend on him to come against our enemies. I'm telling you, when we try to take care of our enemies, you're shortchanging yourself, because there ain't nobody that can do some whip up like God. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter, 54 and 17. Amen. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That means nobody with any kind of weapon. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. That doesn't mean you get in their face and condemn them. That means your lifestyle, you're turning the other cheek. You're showing love. Amen. That's going to condemn them. They aren't going to be able to take it. How many does it take to fight anyway? The answer is two. It takes two people to do that. And when it's only one, they're going to get exhausted. And because you didn't fight and took the higher road, they're going to feel condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. All this comes with it. Amen. All this comes with our faith. So we can trust in the Lord. Right? Amen. And so we can be totally, the only way to maximize my faith is to minimize my fear. That's all I'm asking tonight, is that when we're in prayer, ask the Lord to help you maximize the faith and minimize the fear. Amen. Because they're opposites. They oppose each other, can't exist with each other. Amen. The Father wants faith-filled saints of God. Amen. You're ready to move forward. Amen. Look at Ruth 15. No, Ruth chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Amen. Did I write that? Yeah. And when she was risen up to glean. This is a long story, but it's a beautiful story. Amen. Naomi has come back from sojourning. And I could preach about that, how that we shouldn't sojourn just because times get bad. You just stay right where you're at and things will get better. Well, they sojourned. And in her sojourning with her family, she lost her family. The only thing she was able to come back with was a daughter-in-law that wasn't even of her culture. And she brought Ruth back with her, which turned out to be a pretty good thing, because Ruth is a distant relative of Jesus Christ. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. In other words, drop some of the corn. Or some of the grain, whatever it was, drop it by the handfuls. Drop it on purpose, because I want Ruth to have it. And leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. This, ladies and gentlemen, is an Old Testament story, but it's the voice of God to the New Testament church saying, it doesn't matter how much they want to be your enemy. If you will have faith, God will make them, as they glean whatever they glean, they're going to leave handfuls on purpose. On purpose. so that the church can come through and glean exactly how much and whatever God wants them to have. I'm asking you to let go of fear and pick up the handfuls on purpose. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and let's just lift our, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Let's just lift our hands and let's just trust God right now that whatever it is we need so desperately, whatever it is we're afraid of, whatever it may be, amen, all of us are encumbered by things that we fight and we fear and all, hey, the Lord has already ordained that wherever He leads us, we will find huge handfuls that were left on purpose, not leftovers. The grain is just as good as what they have picked. It's just as great as they are going to take to the barn. And we never even had to work for it. The Spirit of God will give it to us by mercy. He will give it to us by grace. He will give it to us through forgiveness. He will give it to us through the Holy Ghost and nurturing our relationship with Him and each other. Amen. God will give us all of that. It will come to us. Boaz dropped handfuls on purpose. God will drop handfuls on purpose. So we lose the handful of fear and pick up the handful of purpose. So that we can maximize, again, our potential. Every one of us are undug wells. There's great things that need to flow out. Unstoppable channels of stuff that God wants to flow out. It's just not quite dug out yet. All the way. And if He can do what He's done with what He's got already, what in the world is He going to accomplish in Davidson County when He gets where He's headed? And He accomplishes what He's ready to accomplish in each and every one of us. Don't you leave yourself out. If you are one of those that have said tonight in your spirit, He's talking to everybody else but me, raise your hand so I can pray for you. That's about as nice as I can be about it. Because I'm telling you, there is not one individual in this house that God does not love and God does not want to use. We've just got to lose the fear before we can win with faith. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Get a quick glance of whoever's beside you. Got a quick glance? Close your eyes tight, lift your hands, and pray for that individual you just looked at. Reach out to God for that individual you just glanced at. And believe God right now for His fullest potential upon them. While they're praying for you, reach out for them. While you're believing for them, they're believing for you. There's handfuls on purpose waiting for you. The Spirit is ready to provide. The power is ready to prevail. And the anointing is ready to break things that need to be broken. Timothy, I know you're out there. Stir up the gift of God within you. Stir up the gift of God that is within you. And make way for the Lord. Make way for the Lord. Make way for His miracles, signs, and wonders. Make way for His anointing, His greatness, His goodness, and His mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful touch of God.
Let the dark clouds rise. They don't worry.
Hallelujah. I'm sheltered in
the arms of God.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
He walks with me. And
my, 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 my. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. God richly bless you. Shake hands, be friendly as you're dismissed. And thank you again for being here for Tuesday night Bible study.